All right. Our shiur tonight is sponsored by Sid and Helen Wegg in memory of Sid's father, Chaim Moshe ben Yehoshua, alav shalom, on the occasion of his yahrzeit. In the zchus of our learning together and the messages of the Navi and living by those messages, may the neshamas indeed have an aliyah. Okay.
Amen.
So I'd like to pick up where we pretty much left off last time around, and that is the end of Perek Tes, the beginning of Perek Yud in Sefer Shmuel. So last time we spoke about the criteria for kingship and catastrophe, and we saw that Shaul really had both the elements, the ingredients within himself for greatness, as well as for great failure. Unfortunately, his life took the turn that it did. You know, we can analyze as we go along whether it was greatness or great failure, but either way, we spoke a lot about the criteria for a king. And what I want to look at this week, the title of tonight's shiur is Shaul Seeks, What Does He Find? So instead of trying to explain to you what I mean by that title, I think the best way to engage that is just to step right in. So I'll share my screen with you in case you don't have a Navi in front of you. But if you do have a Navi in front of you, it's even better. And there we go, share screen. And we'll pick up from the end of, from the beginning of Perek Yud. This is after Shaul has met with Shmuel. Shmuel has informed him that he's going to be king, and he's ready to go. You know, they're ready to part ways, and Shaul is going to go on his way. So let's begin with the beginning of Perek Yud. Vayikach Shmuel es pach hashemen vayitzok al rosho vayishakehu. Shmuel takes a flask of oil. He pours it over Shaul's head. And he kisses Shaul, Vayomer, and he says, Haloki Meshachacha Hashem al Nachlaso l'Nagid. Hashem hereby appoints you to be the leader, the ruler over his people. So there are a couple of interesting things here in the Pasuk. First of all, it doesn't say Meshachacha al Nachlaso l'Melech. It says Hashem is anointing you to be the ruler of his people. It doesn't say the king of his people. And the Mefarshim point out that that is not by accident. That, in fact, when Shmuel anoints Shaul as king, it is really only meant to be a temporary monarchy. This was never meant to be forever and ever. Now, maybe it was going to be longer than it turned out to be because of Shaul's sin with preserving the people and the leader of Amalek. But, Agag, nevertheless, even had he not gone off the derech, as it were, of Hashem's tzivoy, Hashem's command regarding Amalek, this was never meant to be a monarchy that passed generation to generation. This is a one-shot deal. And that's indicated right here by the fact that it says Hashem anointed him to be a nagid, not to be a melech. Furthermore, the Malbim points out, if you look on the right side of your screen, so the Malbim says, oops, let's just scroll down. Here we go. So the Malbim here says, Al yidei ha-meshicha himshich alav ruach gvura ve'oz melech kimo shekasuv vayimshach oso bekerav echa vatitzlach alav ruach Hashem mehayom hu umala. So he says he starts off by saying that Shaul is appointed here to be is anointed here to be king. Val yedei haneshika shehi hitdabkut ruach berucha himshich alav al shefa kodesh, and through this kiss that Shmuel gives to Shaul, he imparts a spiritual energy which gives Shaul the capacity of receiving the presence of Hashem, the Shechina, and the ability of prophecy. I'm just going to scroll down here. Here is where he says, "Halo ki mishachach Hashem al nachlaso l'nagid, tafas nagid v'lo melech, ba'asher lo huvtach lo hamalchus b'Yerusha." This was never meant to be a hereditary appointment. You know, you have the Queen of England can give a peerage. What do they call it? There's a hereditary peerage where you become your knight, where you become a knight, and your children after you are knights, and knight achar knight achar knight, you know, l'olam vaed. And then, I don't know exactly what they call it, but in a non-hereditary peerage, whereby, you know, Sir Elton John cannot carry over to his children afterwards. Elton John is just a lord for himself. His lordship doesn't carry on generation to generation, despite the power of his music and lyrics. So that's Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdalos. So Shaul is not a hereditary peer. He's not a hereditary king. It was never meant to be that. He's supposed to be a Nagid. Kiderech Hanimshach B'Shemen HaKodesh. And this is a second point that the Malbim points out here in the Pasuk. It says, Shmuel takes a pach, a flask of oil. So the Malbim says that this was a flask of oil and not a keren, and not a horn of oil. And that also indicates the difference between when David is anointed for a hereditary monarchy versus what Shaul is getting. And similarly, I think the Malbim says it, I'm not sure if it's him or maybe the Radak, who says that the oil that is used here, maybe it's the Radak, the oil that was used was not Shemen HaMishcha, but rather it was Shemen Afarsimon, Parsimian. In other words, it was a fragrant oil, a beautiful oil, a proper oil to anoint somebody to a position, but it wasn't the Shemen HaMishcha, it wasn't the official anointing oil. So in these three ways, it's already indicated here in the Navi that Shaul's Melucha, his reign, was meant to be generational, and that's it. Okay. Back to the Navi. Blechtecha hayom me'imadi. Now Shmuel says to Shaul, when you depart from me today, umatzasa shnei anashim im kivuras Rachel, begvul binyamin b'tzeltzach. You will chance upon, you will come upon two people by kever Rachel on the border of Binyamin, v'yamru elecha, and they will say to you, nimtzu hasonos asher halachta levakesh. Your asses have been found. Vihine Natasha Vicha is Tivreha Asonos, Vidaaglachem Lemorma Eselibni. And behold, your father is stopping worrying about his asses, and rather he's worrying about you, saying, "What? Where is my son?" Vichalafta Misham, and then you will turn from there, Vahala, and move on, Uvasa ad Elon Tabor, and you will pass by Elon Tabor, Mutzaucha Sham Shloshan Hashem, and there three people will find you. Olim el ha'Elohim beit el. And these three people are going to be on their way to commune with God in beit el, right? Remember, we pointed out either last shiur or the shiur before that there was this split between the Aron and the Mizbeach. Now, while the Mizbeach was apparently in beit el, and maybe there was something left in the Mishkan in Shiloh, and there was a Mishkan in Shiloh, and the Mizbeach in Shiloh, there was a Bama and a Mizbeach in Beit El, but the Aron, you know, was separate from that. The Aron was in Kiryat Yearim. Right, so there's a split between where the Aron is and the Mizbeach, and where they could bring Karbanos. Echad nosei shlosha gedayim, v'echad nosei shlosha kikros lechem, v'echad nosei nevel yayin. Each one of these three people that you're going to meet is carrying something else. Somebody's carrying a gedi, a lamb, a kid. Another one is carrying bread. Another one is carrying a flask of a jar of wine, a flask of wine. Okay. Vishalu lecha shalom. And these people are going to seek out your welfare. V'nasnu lecha shtei lechem l'kachtem yadam. They're going to give you some bread and you'll take it from them. Achar kein, then, Tavok Givat Elohim, you will arrive at the Givat Elohim, the hill of God. Rashi, if you take a look here on the side, the hill of Kiryas Yearim, where the Ark of God was now resting. Right. So you're going to meet these people at Givat Elohim, where, as we pointed out, the Aron is now. Asher Sham Nitzive Plishtim. And that also happens to be where there are Plishti guards. You know, Eretz Yisrael was under Plishti dominance. So even if it wasn't entirely subjugated by the Plishtim, but the Plishtim had their forces here and there, and they had towns that were under its control. This was one of those places. So there were, you know, Plishti sentinels there.
When you arrive in Kiryat Yarim, there are going to be a whole string of prophets that are going to be coming down from the Bama.
There's going to be music and instruments playing, and they will be prophesying in this state.
B'tzalcha alecha ruach Hashem.
And the Spirit of Hashem will grip you, and you, in other words, will be upon you, and you will speak, you will prophesize, and you will become a new person. So, v'haya, and it will be, when you experience these three signs, right, you're going to meet group A, group B, group C. Group C will indicate that the Spirit of Hashem is now upon him. And when this happens, when he goes through these three signs,
V'savona ha'oso selech halach, aselech asher timtza yedecha,
do as you will be king. Ki ha'lohim imach, because Hashem is going to be with you. Okay. So, that brings us to the seventh pasuk in the parak. I want to go just a little further and then go back. Then you'll come to me. I'll be in Gilgal. So you'll go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will come down and present you to present karbanos and sacrifices. Wait 7 days until I come to you, and I'll instruct you what to do next. And he, again, he turned around to leave Shmuel. By Hafoch lo Elohim lev acher, God gave him another heart. And he's changed here. He's transformed. By Avoch lo Osos Eila Bayamahu, and all the signs that Shmuel told him were indeed fulfilled on that day. By Avosh Amagivasav, Hinechet al Neviim Likraso. He arrives in Kiryat Yarim. The prophets come out to greet him. Hashem's Shechina dwells upon him. And he prophesizes amongst them. Okay. So, one more pasuk. Vayhi kol yodo meitmol shilshom. When all the people who previously knew him, they saw him, vayiru v'nei neviyim niva, he's prophesying with all the prophets. You know, 2 days ago, he was just a shepherd boy. You know, now he's prophesizing amongst the prophets. What's going on? Vayomer ha'am. And the people said, "Ishal Reyehu, Maze Hayal Ben Kish, Agam Shaul Banavim. What's happened? Shaul is now a prophet." And the story continues. So let's go back here, and I want to ask sort of a directed, close read, limited type of question. And then I want to take a look at a broader picture. And they're connected. The question, the sort of limited, laser focus question that I'd like to ask is, what's the nature of these three signs? Shmuel says to him, right, he pours it over his head. He's not a melech, he's a nugget, but he's still somebody extremely important. He is a king of limited tenure. But, you know, he's still a king. So what's the story with these three signs? First, he's going to meet two people by Kever Rachel. And they will say to him, your asses have been found. You do not need, you no longer need to seek out your ass. That's one. Then he moves on from there. He goes to Elon Tavor. He's there. He's going to meet three people. And there, those three people are going up to Beit El. These three people are going up to commune with God. And they have with them meat, bread, and wine. And then he has a third, and they seek out his welfare. And then there's a third group of people in Kiryat Yarim, where the Aron is. And they come out to engage him, and he's going to prophesize with them. And after those three signs, you know, he's really a changed man at that point. So what's the significance here of these three? So I want to take you to the Malbim and share with you the Malbim's approach to these three signs. Before I do that, does anybody have a suggestion that they would like to share about what the significance is of these three stops, these three signs that are meant to indicate some type of transformation that Shaul is either going through or precede his transformation when he goes from shepherd boy, ass seeker, to Melech Yisrael? Go ahead, Chippy.
No.
Oh, okay. I saw your hand move. That was.
I'm moving my book.
Okay. All right. No problem. Kalman, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I said. Kevin Rachel is understood because he's descendant of Rachel. He's Binyamin. Mishevet Binyamin. So because if he says, I'm Mishevet, the smallest Shevet, and whatever. Yeah, but you are the great great grandson of Rachel. That's something else. That's one thing.
Okay.
He has to change. There is something that has to change in him. Mevakesh Atonot, and he found a Melucha. It's suddenly the mother hurts you to change from this to this. It's not so easy. So he says you've got stages, one stage, another stage. Heavenly being, maybe you're going to get something, spirit or something, change. There's a change in you.
Right. So you're suggesting there is a gradation going on over here, and and these three stops sort of represent each one sort of a path in a movement from shepherd boy, ass seeker, to King of Israel. Where he starts off, looking for donkeys, and by the third stop, he's Melech Yisrael. So it's sort of a three stage transition. Okay. Right, it goes two, three, and then a bunch, without particular number, but a two, three, and then a bunch. Okay. All right, and you can also point out that it's donkeys, and then food, and then Nevi'im. So maybe that's a stage also. All right. Anybody else have any suggestions they want to share before we take a look at the Malbim?
The first one to me is where he's being told, "Don't worry about the donkeys." It's like a message. You're not going back home. Don't worry about that mundane stuff. It's sort of like Abraham's first test, leave your father's household and so on and so forth, because you're never going to go back that way. You're right. Only going up to different stages in life.
Right. In other words, you don't need the donkeys anymore. You're not a donkey watcher. So leave the donkeys behind. Don't worry about them. They're taken care of. You have bigger fish to fry. Okay?
But it also doesn't seem like that Shaul knows what's going on in totality. It seems like Shmuel has all this stage with all these people. You would think that they're staged. First you're going to see these two people. We don't know who these two people are. Then the next three people, we don't know who those people are. Maybe over the Nevi'im. But it doesn't seem like Shaul knows what's going on at all yet.
Shmuel does tell him at the end of Perek Tes, guess what? Ta-da! Your king.
But it seems like it's dropped on him unexpectedly.
Yes, it is dropped on him. That is for sure. Okay. And you have to think about, you know, how, you know, as great as his capacity is for greatness, it's still a pretty big deal to go from, you know, donkey man to Navi Melech B'Yisrael, you know, it really in the span of 12 hours, you know, or, you know, we're not talking, you know, he meets Shaul the night before, they have dinner, apparently it was a good dinner, it says Vayashkim Baboker, Vayashkimu, that both of them woke up in the morning. Apparently, neither of them could really sleep. The Barbanel says, I believe it's the Barbanel who says, they couldn't sleep that night. Shaul was tossing and turning, thinking about what Shmuel said to him about, you know, every, you know, the world is going to be your oyster pretty soon. Shmuel is also, you know, tossing and turning all night, thinking about how this is going to turn out and the new, you know, the new trajectory for Klal Yisrael. So neither of them could really sleep. So this is all going on within the span of 12 to 24 hours, you know. So that's a lot for a person to process.
Yep. Moshe Rabbeinu had the same thing. The three simanim, Vayayim lo yaminu mi, I can believe it. They don't believe it. Who is it going to believe me? What are you talking about? Okay. So you give us three signs.
Right. So and that's a beautiful symmetry to indicate that, you know, Shaul's godless, his greatness, you know. He is compared in part to the Moshe Rabbeinu, who also began with three signs. Okay. Anybody else before we take a look at the Malbim inside? All right, so I'm going to share my screen with you. And let's see here. Share screen. Okay. We're going to take a look at the Malbim. Here we go. Okay. The Malbim, asks the basic questions. Why is it that, he's basically asking, what is the symbolism here? So let's get straight into it. Be'osos ha'ele remez lo inyan ha'am asher yanhig. In these three signs, a little different than what Rabbi Shiloni was saying, the Malbim says that Shaul was finding out or learning, there's a hint here, to the various groups within Klal Yisrael that he's about to lead. And the relationship with each kat. There are three basic groups. My father, Alav HaShalom, who himself was a pulpit rabbi for 11 years before he became a full-time psychologist, right? A rabbi by another name, I would say, right? So he was a clinical psychologist, and when I began my profession in the rabbinate, so he said to me that there's a rule, a klal that one should know about shuls and communities. The names and the faces may change, but the people stay the same. Right? Every shul has, you know, has its gabbai and then the candy man and, you know, the person that maybe is easygoing and the person that's maybe less easygoing. Every shul has these people. You know, the names and the faces change, but the people stay the same. So, so the Malbim says there are three basic groups within Klal Yisrael. And this is not unique to the time of Shaul, but he has to understand the yachas, the relationship, and he has to understand who the people are, whom he is representing, and who are represented through him. You know, he is the unifier, he is the representative, you know, Lahavdil. We can even feel it a little bit in the sense of what it means to have a king bismanenu, the king or the queen of England. Even in America or in Israel, there's a president of the country that's supposed to be above politics, beyond, you know, not just with this group or with that group, but somehow has the entire essence of the country is manifest through that individual, right? So as Shaul is about to become king, he has to understand this about his position and about the people. So who are these three groups? Shalosh kitot mefuradot. Aleph. Anashim hamonim, the masses. Hachayim chaye behema, who live very materialistic, very base lives, just sort of getting along day to day, following their base instincts. Not bad people. Not bad people. Not tzaddikim, just you know people that they buy steak and they go shopping and they do their thing and they're good people, but they're not much more than that. Bilti ovdim es Hashem. Now he says these people are not ovdim es Hashem. They don't serve Hashem. I don't think that means that they're ovdei avodah zara. I don't think it means that they're anti-God, or they're not religious people. They go to shul and they do their stuff, but they're not ovdei Hashem. These are people that they're just getting along day to day, very focused on really the most basic material parts of life. Simple. V'lo maskilim ba'amituto. These are not grand philosophers who are contemplating the existence of the truth of the world or the truth of God. V'chol megamatam hu rak gviasam v'admasam. The only thing they're concerned about is their body and their property. Right? V'ya'an shehem harabim ki rov ha'am hem hamonim. And Shaul has to realize that's most of the people. Good, decent, honorable, fine people. But these are not people that are trying to seek out Hashem or understand, or understand the truth of the universe or commune with Hashem. They're dealing with making a living, getting along, and, having a good dinner and enjoying life. Good, simple, good people. But nothing more than that. And that's the majority. So that's why Shmuel said to him, this is going to be the first group that you meet, right? You think you're going to be the king of Israel and everybody's going to be like this internal court where it's this rarefied environment. No. You might be in that rarefied court, but you are not representing just those people in your court. You are connected, represented, bound to, in service of, and this is the vast majority, the Hamonam. And therefore he says, Omar belechtecha yom imadi umitzaucha shnei anashim. You'll find two people. Kihem nifradim l'shnei machanot. And these, in fact, these people are split up into two camps themselves. Yeshanim shachem achar koach hamitavel echol v'lishtosu l'sadein. Some of these people, they are really just interested in eating and drinking and pleasure. V'yeshanim shachem achar koach hamitorer l'esof hon v'osher v'chadoma. And then you have a higher level hamonam. These are not people that are just interested in eating and drinking. They're actually interested in amassing wealth. It's already like a little higher level. Behemata im kvuras Rachel, and these people are now by Kever Rachel, alongside Kever Rachel. The Tifko Shosam Bigvul Binyamin Bitzaltach. You're gonna meet them at the border of Binyamin. Romes. This is a hint to the fact, an allusion to the fact. Kianashim Kaelahim Nimtsaim im Kvurat Rachel. That these people are found with Kever Rachel, ki haneshama ha'elohit asher b'kirbam eishes chayel hayafa ben Hashim hanirmeze b'Rachel. The soul of these people is eishes chayel, this beautiful eishes chayel, and I think he means it in the most, the eishes chayel is described in the poem of eishes chayel, right? Is not talking about a woman who's Isha Yiras Hashem Hitisalal. That's like not really the, Eshes Chayel Miyimtza is a woman who works and who and who weaves and who you know, takes care of things. They're very physical, you know. This is Eishes Chayil. Now, why it's connected to Rachel? That's I'll leave that for, you know, for another discussion. But he says this is really, you know, Rachel. He kvura toch rigve adama shehu tachas memshalas habasar b'hagvia v'gam et yifkashucha lo yimshichu acharecha likanes b'gvulcha shehu shevet binyamin rak yamdu b'gvul binyamin min atzad. So people like this, they're not really going to be extending a hand to you. You know, they're not even going to invite you in. They're just like sort of on the edge of Binyamin. They're not even going to, inquire about how you're doing. These guys are focused on amassing wealth and eating and drinking. They're certainly not going to give you, you know, bread, you know, or any type of gifts or tribute. All right. Skip a little bit. Kihem krovim el balei chayim nosei sevel kimohem shehem hagamal v'atonot. People like this, they are close to just animals. Now, it doesn't mean that they're animals, and it doesn't mean, and I don't think that the Malbim is saying that these are bad people. He's just saying their lives are like very, you know, they're simple, not thoughtful, not, you know, they're just, you know, simple people, just eating and drinking and living and, you know, but rak b'chol ze lo yazikla, they're not going to do any harm. Lo yichashu miblusarcha bidvar ha'tonot ki nimtza'u. And they're not going to harm you or take away anything from your, you know, from you. These are going to be the people that are going to tell you that your donkeys were found. Because they're hanging out. The donkeys are relevant to this group of people. Okay. So folks, that is group number one. Group number two. Group number two, chalafta misham, you're going to leave that group, and you're going to move on, and you're going to meet a group of three people. And the Malbim says, who's this group of three people? These group of three people, they are anashim asher yasku b'avodas Hashem. These people are actually, you know, worshiping Hashem. Olim ela Elohim Beitel. These are people that are on their way to Beitel, right, to give karbonos. So this group of people has three types, three variations. There are those people that are interested in avodas Hashem l'shem Hashem l'reach nichoach bilvad. Right. And one of them is carrying three goats, three kids. His whole purpose is to, you know, bring these karbanos. So the Malbim says, that, you know, this person bringing these three animals for karbanos represents bringing the three parts of his neshama. This is a real Eved Hashem. This is the real thing. Then you have people that they serve Hashem and they're seeking Hashem because they want Hashem's brachas for material gain and for all the things that are necessary to live a good life. Shezeh hagam she'oved es Hashem. That's also an Eved Hashem. However, who oved es atzmo gam kein, v'noseh shlosha chelkei nafsho v'yishpechem lefnei Hashem, al shloshas kikaris lechem u'mazon. So, he's an Eved Hashem. He's an Eved Hashem. But, his avdus is not as high as that first group. He's there in order to get the brachas, right? He wants to make sure he's got a nice house and he's got food and he knows that that's not the end all of life and he knows that it all comes from Hashem. So Hashem is his conduit and Hashem is his interface for the physical world. And that's a milah. that a person shouldn't, you know, just be focused on the on physicality. But even if we're focused on physicality, we understand that it's all an emanation and reflection of the divine will. That's a mila. V'yesh hagarua mikulam, in the lowest level of these three, who are on their way to Beit El, these people of God, the lowest level is ha'ovedes Hashem leba'avor yasig osher umotarot v'tanugim schar avod aso shezeh hanimlatz b'hanose v'tanugim schar avod aso. And then there are people that their whole purpose is really just to get, you know, to live a good life. It's not that they're Ovdei Hashem and they see the whole world is a reflection of Hashem and they want Hashem's brachas. No. They understand that God is a vending machine. And in order to get the stuff out of the vending machine and to live as pleasurable a life as possible, they're going to engage the vendor, they're going to engage the vending machine itself. So, that, you know, they still understand that everything comes from Hashem, so that's also a mila. But it's a but as far as spirituality goes, that's a pretty low level. So here you have the first two groups that Shaul has to understand that he's not just, you know, this is not just some people. This is a majority of the people of Klal Yisrael who he represents, who live through, who are manifest through him, and whom he serves and is bound to. Right? When he thinks, I'm king, I'm not king of the Nevi'im. I am king of these people. And that should give Shaul a certain perspective. He start. Let's take it to the third group here. The third group. The Chalafta Misham. Sorry. No. Let's go down. V'chalafta misham. Now, v'sha'olu l'cha shalom. These people who are ready, Ovdei Hashem, you know, even the lowest level of these people, they're still engaging Hashem. People with that level of divine consciousness and awareness, they're not just focused on themselves, they will inquire about your well-being, regardless of the level. And then the third group, Achar tavo givat Elohim asher sham nitzivei plishtim. Then you're going to go to the place of Hashem, right? Which is where the Aron was in Kiryat Yarim. Ufagata chevel neviim yardim mehabama. You're going to find a group of neviim coming down, and you're going to prophesize with them, and Hashem's Shechina is going to dwell upon you. So, this is the third group. Achar kein tavo al givat Elohim, shesham yashav ha'aron. There is the Aron. We'll skip the parentheses. V'sham nitzivei plishtim. You also have the plishti sentinels there. All right. Ufagata chevel neviim yardim mehaba mashehi kachli shit. This third group. Asher yatsami madregas anashim al madregas sheikara Elohim. These people are no longer just people. These people are spiritual beings, right? These are Nevi'im. Obviously, they're human beings, but they are in essence their whole approach to life is a spiritual approach. Anashim asher hitpashtu mikol inyanei habasar oskim beruchniyot uveelohot. People for whom they have entirely bursting forth from them. And is their spiritual essence, and they are beyond, you know, all the material and flesh and blood things. They are focused on ruchnius. V'lifneihem nevel v'tof v'chalil mishtadlim la'orer et hanefesh elokid. They have all these musical instruments and song. Their whole gestalt in life is to inspire their spiritual state. So that way they can commune with Hashem. These are the three groups of people that Shaul meets. These are the three groups. Because Shaul has to understand who he is the king of. Right? And he's not the king of the elite. I mean, he is the king of the elite. But the elite is a small group. If that's who you think you are standing and representing, that's 2% of your day. 98% of your day are these people that get up in the morning and take their cows and they plow their field and they're looking for a good meal at the evening. And they treat their children nicely and their husbands and wives well. And they take care of one another, but they're basically just interested in getting along and living. Then you have another group, a little smaller group, but more variegated, and that is people that have a divine consciousness. And then you have people that are mamish spiritual beings. That's the smallest of the small. So on this pyramid, you know, you're on the top of that pyramid, but really the majority of that pyramid are not the Heilige Yidden, as I believe is a term in Tanakh. These aren't the holy, holy, holy people. I mean, they might be holy, the Baal Shem Tov will tell you they're holy, and they are holy. But in what we mean by, spiritually rarefied, intellectual, philosophical, contemplative, that's not these people. That's who you're king of. That's who you're king of. So you started out as a donkey watcher, and you know who you end up as, Shaul HaMelech? I don't want to say anything bad about Klal Yisrael, but you're ending up as a donkey watcher. And that doesn't say anything bad about the people. But what it says is what your responsibility is and what you should think about who you are as Melech. And on that note, he sends him off. He says, when you get to those three people, those three groups, then you'll get to Hashras HaShechina. He didn't go straight to the Nevi'im. We could have imagined a Navi, a storyline where Shmuel tells Shaul, listen, I'm anointing you king, oil over the head. In 12 hours, you're going to meet a group of Nevi'im. Be prepared. That's the big moment. But he goes through these steps in order, not exactly as Rabbi Shaloni put it, but from a little different perspective, in order for him to understand who he's truly representing, and therefore who he is, who his identity is as king. Now, that's the answer to the limited, very narrow question of why these three stops. But I told you I wanted to also sort of blow it up a little bit and give you a bigger picture. And this is, if we spent 45 minutes on this, this part will take eight or 10 minutes. This is something that I saw by Rabbi Jacobson in the Tanakh Center in at Yeshivat Har Etzion. So he notes the following. I'm going to share my screen with you again. Let's remember Shaul's journey here. Shaul's journey. His father tells him to go look for the donkeys. He looks for the donkeys. He meets Shmuel, and then there's a journey away from Shmuel. And after that journey away from Shmuel, he becomes king. So there are three parts here. The journey to Shmuel, meeting Shmuel, and the journey away from Shmuel. I want to point out something to you on both legs of this journey, on the way up and on the way back. I'm going to share with you my screen. If you have a Navi in front of you, go back to Perek Tes, chapter 9, and let's start with Pasuk... Pasuk Gimel, right? So chapter 9, Pasuk Gimel. Again, we're don't get nervous. We're going to zip through this. Okay, sharing my screen with you. Here we go. Chapter 9, Pasuk Gimel. So here we go. Vatovad Naosos, he loses his donkeys. Kish says to Shaul, take a lad with you and go look for these donkeys. Vayavor b'Har Ephraim, and he goes to Har Ephraim, v'lo matza'u, stop one, he doesn't find any. Vayavru b'Eretz Sha'alayim, he goes to another place, to Eretz Sha'alayim, vayavor b'Eretz Yimini, v'lo matza'u, he goes to a second place, and he doesn't find any. Hema bo b'Eretz Tzuf, and then they go to a third place, v'shol omer l'naro, Asherimo l'chavna shuva. He goes to a third place. Clearly, they didn't find it there either. And he says, let's go home. So first of all, we have a parallel here. We have on the journey up, we have three stops. And on the journey away from Shmuel, we have three stops. Furthermore, what becomes clear here, if you look carefully at the text says, what's the purpose of this journey? To go and find, seek and find these animals. And they go, v'lo matza'u. And they did, whoops, sorry. V'lo matza'u. They didn't find. And then again, they go to Eretz Yemini, v'lo matza'u. They didn't find. Now, they continue, Pasuk 6. Vayomer lo, and he says to him, listen, we can't find these donkeys. Maybe we should go to the Ish Elokim in the city, and maybe he'll be able to help us. Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul says to his lad, what are we going to bring him? And the lad says to him, Hine nimtza biadi, there is found something in my hand, a certain amount of money. We will take it, and we will bring it to the Ish Elokim. Pasuk 10, Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul says, you know what, that's a great idea. Pasuk 11, Hema olam b'malei ha'ir, they were climbing to up the incline in the town, the Hema matzu, and now they find these girls by going out to draw water. And they said, Hayesh Bazero Ed, you find you know where the holy man is? And they respond to him, you came just at the right time. Pasuk 13. Kivoachem ha'ir, when you come into the city, Kain tim tzi'un oso, you will find him. B'terem yaleh ha'bamasa le'echol, before he goes up to eat his holy meal. Now go up, because he is here today, and you will find him. So, just the way I have read these psukim, I think it should be quite clear that there is a theme in Perek Tes of seeking. Everything is about seeking and finding and finding and finding. And that's true if you... if you look at Shaul's journey away from Shmuel, right? So he seeks, he finds Shmuel, he talks with Shmuel. Shmuel tells him he's going to be king, and now on the way out, Shmuel tells him, "Don't worry, your animals have been found," and now. To the psukim that we read today, va'amru elecha nimtzu belechtecha hayom me'imadi umatzasa shnei anashim. You will find these two people by kever Rachel, and they will tell you that your donkeys, your asses, nimtzu have been found. Pasuk gimel v'chalafta misham and umitzaucha sham shlosha anashim. And there you will find three people, and there they will greet you v'shalu l'chal shalom, and then finally you will arrive at the place of the prophets of the Nevi'im and Hashem's Shechina will dwell upon you. Pasuk 7. V'hayaki tavona otot ha'elach alach aselecha asher timtza bihadecha. Says, once these signs have occurred, you can do as you please. But the language here is asher timtza bihadecha. Do as what comes into your hand. Whatever you want to do. So the notion here of seeking and finding is clearly reflected in the text, in the language that the Navi uses here. So what is Shaul seeking, and what does he find? So on a simple level, Shaul is seeking Shmuel, And he finds that he's king. But on another level here, when Shaul arrives, when Shaul goes to meet Shmuel, everything appears almost by happenstance, right? He, you know, they look at these places to find the donkeys. They're not there. It turns out that they're right in this town where Shmuel is. Just sheer chance, coincidence. And the Na'ar says to him, well, why don't we go there? We're in the neighborhood anyway. You know, we're not too far away. And then, well, what are we going to bring him? Well, lucky for us, I happen to have a couple of bucks in my pocket. And they go. And when they go, when they arrive, they coincidentally bump into these girls who are watering their sheep, and who happen to know, you know, exactly where the holy man is going to be. And then, even though we know as the reader that Hashem told Shmuel that Shaul would be coming, but Shaul didn't know exactly when, where, or what. And Shmuel arrives, and Shaul sees him, right? So he sees him now from Shmuel's perspective. Shmuel sees Shaul. From Shaul's perspective, it's like, hey, have you seen this Ish Elokim, the Roeh? And Shaul says, hey, wouldn't you know, I'm the guy you're looking for. From Shaul's perspective, everything seems like it's happenstance. He meets with Shmuel, and Shmuel tells him, there is a divine plan here, and you're part of the divine plan. And the divine plan is that you're going to be king. And now Shmuel leaves. Shaul leaves, and he tells Shmuel tells Shaul, when you leave, you're going to meet these people, and those people, and the other people. And after you meet all them, you're going to become king. In other words, things are different now. You are now in a place that you must understand that everything is Yad Hashem. That where what I've just told you is clearly Hashem, because I've prophesied that this is going to occur, and when it occurs, you're going to be prophesying with the Nevi'im, and etc., etc. But the parallel here between his journey up and his journey down is to reinforce the idea to Shaul, and maybe even more so to us, the reader, that it's all Yad Hashem. Even what appears to be happenstance is Yad Hashem. Even what appears to be coincidence is Yad Hashem. And that's something which is important for us, the reader. That's a message that we get, the Musar that we get. But it's also something which is extraordinarily important and critical for Shaul as the king of Israel. A king of Israel cannot for a moment think that what is Yad Hashem is what happens in the Beis HaMikdash. What is Yad Hashem is what happens by the Urim V'Tumim. What is Yad Hashem is what happens at the Aron HaBris, and the Aron HaEdus, or by the Bama. No, what a Melech B'Israel has to understand is that everything is Yad Hashem. Everything is Yad Hashem. It rains, it doesn't rain. There is war, there is peace. There is famine, there is hunger. There is pestilence, there is health. All of it is Yad Hashem. Because now, it's important for everybody to know that. But even, there's an even greater urgency that this is a consciousness that that a king of Israel must have. So the title of this year was Shaul seeks. What does he find? So Shaul was seeking, you know, some donkeys, and what he found was himself, or what he found was that he's still a donkey watcher, but a different type of donkey watcher. He also was looking, you know, to find his donkeys, and in the meantime, he really found the most profound experience of understanding the divine providence in the world. So he was just looking for something very, very mundane. But in that mundane journey, something extraordinary happened. Vayehafoch libo. His heart changed. He emerged from the experience with Shaul, with Shmuel different. He emerged after meeting those three people different. He is a changed person. And now he is well suited to do what he needs to do to be a king. Will he succeed? Won't he? Time will tell. But he has the kalim one way or another.
I found something very interesting in this
shiur. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad. That's one person. Okay, good.
He was not influenced by the first two books, but he was influenced by the last one. This was the message here. Don't listen to the people. Listen to the Nevi'im. And that was his downfall, was that he listened to the people. Amal ha'am, ha'um ha'am, and thus and so forth.
Excellent point.
Interesting. Very.
Yeah.
And he should have listened to the Navi, what the Navi told him to do.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Wow.
It's interesting that you say that because in the next psukim we have Shmuel telling him, you know, whatever you want to do, the world is your oyster. But come to Gilgal, you're going to bring Karbanos, and I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to happen. Right? And I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. So the world is your oyster, except when it comes to the domain of Ruchnius. You know, you don't have free reign. So, well said, Rabbi Shaloni.
Rabbi?
Yes, go ahead.
Rachel Weinstein once told me this word that I just can't forget. You're talking about happenstance, which is mikra. So if you just juxtapose the word mikra, what do you have? Rach Mei Hashem.
Rach Mei Hashem. Very nice. Very nice.
Rabbi.
What it's all about.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Rabbi, at the beginning, when you said that Shaul has to learn about the various groups, the myriad of groups of people, wouldn't that be obligatory for any, wouldn't this be a prototype for any king to understand and have in his consciousness the fact that he's going to be dealing with all, with people who have differences, who are, you know, really characteristic of each of these groups?
Right. That would make sense that a king should have that. Should have that awareness, absolutely.
So it wouldn't be just peculiar to Shaul, but could
no.
David HaMelech and other kings probably would have to be aware of the same thing, would it? Is that clear?
I would agree that this is not that this is not an awareness that is unique to Shaul. It's something that every king is required to have. Shaul serves as the first, maybe as a model for that, but I think that's necessary for every leader. Any other comments?
Thank you, Rabbi Yashikoah.
Yeah, except...
Go ahead, Michael.
To maybe piggyback on Rabbi Shiloni, David didn't need the warning, but Shaul did, because Shaul's pattern is to listen to the chamorim that he's watching. That's his weakness. One doesn't ask the chamor that he's watching for advice on what to do with Agag.
Right.
But that's what Shaul does.
Right.
But Dylan...
And just to clarify again, I'm not saying that Klal Yisrael are a bunch of chamorim. I'm just,
And I didn't mean it in that sense, but it is Shaul's weakness to ask the popularity contest, what should I do?
Right.
Bilam should have listened to his donkey.
That's right.
Well, his donkey wasn't a regular donkey.
And I also had one other point that first group that, as the Malbim describes, fascinated me with the idea that they were Binyamin and at Keva Rachel. And I find that interesting for two reasons. One, because that's Shaul Shevet.
Yeah.
And he's being told, from what you said, not to just limit himself to one group, not just to show favoritism to Binyamin, but to continue on through the greater nation as a whole and to the Nevi'im and to the Kodesh people.
Right, very nice.
Sanhedrin at the top.
Right.
So the fact that they were in Binyamin, I thought, was key. And the other reason that really struck me is that, according to some, this isn't long after Pelegesh Begiva. Uh-huh. And yet, what does the Malbim say about Binyamin? They're not going to give you food. They're concerned with their own, in a manner of speaking, animal. Isn't that what got them in trouble with Pelegesh Begiva? That the Levi comes to town and nobody invites them in for food or shelter.
Right.
Right.
Binyamin leaves him in the street, and then the men of Binyamin who wanted to slake their lust on the woman ended up doing so because they were just thinking of their own pleasure. And it's a shame that Binyamin seemed not to have learned that much from that story that almost destroyed them.
Interesting. Interesting. Although I think that's a fascinating, fascinating point. But I would just add that Binyamin here is not, at least according to the Malbim's rendition here, is not unique.
Right.
Right. It's really, the Rove of Klal Yisrael is, seems to be that way. So, that's just a reality of life. But I think that to maybe just also to build on your point a little bit, that that it's Bedafka Binyamin that he has to see this Amcha type of people. I bet you there were Nevi'im from Binyamin also, right? Just like 10% of 10% of the population are Nevi'im. So probably it's spread around 10%, but the first group, and the Malbim says is Rove of Klal Yisrael. That first group could have been people from anywhere, but it was Bedafka then, and perhaps it had to be from Binyamin, so he could see himself in he's not better than anybody else. He will rise, but it's his shevet that represents the Amcha, not the
Hamonam.
And the Hamonam, right? The Hamonam. Very nice.
It's also interesting what you described in Sefer Shoftim. One of the issues of Klal Yisrael was, I'm concerned with my chelek and my field. When Devorah is saying, come on, Shvatim, help out, they don't show up because they're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And that, again, seems to be the Hamonam. Now that we have a melech, we're still in that tendency to some extent.
Right. Right, so I think that's important for us as the reader to see. I mean, they say that the best Musar Sefer is Navi, just to open up the Navi. That, so this is the this is the Musar for us to be able to challenge ourselves, to go beyond what we might naturally be inclined to do. So
wonderful.
Okay. All right. Yashkoich, everyone. And Mirza Hashem.
Thank you, Baruch Hashem. We'll see you in Shul.
Yashkoich.
Night, everybody.
Night,
everyone. Well, let's all.